The time for talk is over. The waiting games have come to an end. For now, football is nigh. That's right. It's gridiron o'clock, Sunday, 1 p.m., as you can see live here on our fabulous live stream from beautiful downtown Cincinnati, Ohio. Your New England Patriots, after approximately 246 days off to get their shit together.
Whoa.
I'm coming in hot this morning, Hart. That's just how I feel. They get their act together. A new look Patriots with a new executive vice president of player personnel, a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, and of course, a new quarterback who was previously a quarterback for the organization, travel to Cincy, the Queen City. Will they be kings on Sunday as they take on Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Cincinnati Bengals in the opener of the 2024 season? And your old pals Fitzy and Hart are here to preview it, offer our predictions and more on the latest and always greatest edition of Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by your friends at Odyssey, WEEI, and 2400 Sports. All right, Hart, there's been a little movement this week, and I'm not talking about the usual kind of movement we associate with getting excited for football. No, I'm talking about the kind of movement that usually comes with a line that indicates there's been action and movement in wagering one way or the other. So this game, when lines opened months ago, featuring, of course, Joe Burrow coming back with his trio, his cadre of world-class receivers and offensive talent. He, of course, missing half of last season. He'd be on a mission, out for vengeance, an MVP candidate. The line opened at 9.5 against the Patriots, whether it was going to be Drake May or, as it stands to be, Jacoby Brissett. Now, earlier this week, because I believe the Ja'Marr Chase issue drove the line down all the way, the Ja'Marr Chase uncertainty drove the line all the way down to, I believe, 7.5. Now, since Ja'Marr Chase returned to practice, I think it's back up to 8.5. What do you make of all of that? And do we believe we are going to see one of the best players in the NFL, let alone in this particular game, on the field Sunday at the newly minted Paycor Stadium in downtown Cincinnati?
So, terrible answer. I have no idea. I know we spoke with Adam Schefter on the afternoon show. That's literally its name. Don't question it. Just go with it. The afternoon show on WEEI yesterday. And he was reporting, okay, he's at practice, but how much does he do and all of that? And he's ramped it up a little bit in recent days, but is there still this belief if he doesn't get a contract, he's not going to play? So there was definitely positive momentum towards Ja'Marr Chase playing. But I think there are some Bengals fans who are going to hold their breath right up until the point they see number one on the field and catching a pass from Joe Burrow. And then I said it to you, there's also the next step is, what kind of shape is he in? Is he ready to compete for 40, 50, 60 snaps of an NFL game, if that's necessary? Of course, he might be standing in the fourth quarter or third quarter because they're up by a bunch, but whatever. I also love how you said, the line plummeted to 7.5. So
that's big movement, considering that who in the hell in their right mind would bet it on a team that is not favored in any of their 17 professional football contests this
year.
Just
saying, the other team was without its best player and still more than a touchdown better than you.
Yeah, because they have an MVP candidate under center. They have a better offense.
Throw on back-to-back days. He's the Al Horford of QBs or whatever the hell you want to call it. Sorry to pull a sentence there that was straight out of the Christian Fourier playbook. Ja'Marr Chase is interesting, but do the Bengals need Ja'Marr Chase to beat you? If you recall, last time these two teams lined up on Christmas Eve, T. Higgins made the Patriots his personal biznitch with 8 catches for 128 yards and a touchdown. Kind of, I don't think he actually did it, but he kind of did the "you too small" to Jonathan Jones, owning that.
Did he too short him?
I don't think he did, but he did it in a literal sense, if not the actual celebratory sense. And then the Bengals held on, whatever. That game was a weird game. I still think they decided they wanted to go home and see their kids at halftime. And then we're like, oh, we're not blowing them out totally. We're kind of in a dogfight here.
It's Christmas Eve. I just want to go home. Oh, wait a second. The Patriots are still trying. Oh,
jackasses. Just because you get to drive home and we have to fly home. This isn't fair.
Yeah, I would actually personally rather fly home than drive home, considering what a pain in the ass it to try to get out of Gillette Stadium. Now, all that being said, Pats did stage a little bit of a comeback in the second half. The Bengals definitely took their foot on the, off the gas, which they're not usually want to do. Like, they play a full game because of that insane psycho killer drive of Joe Burrow. Yet the Patriots were a Ramondre fumble away from winning that football game. Now, that's almost
neither here nor there, probably.
Exactly. That's a year and three quarters ago.
Different quarterback for the Patriots. A lot of the similar players, coaches for the Bengals. And that's where this game also gets weird, because there is continuity on the Bengals, but sort of a lack of continuity. Joe Burrow didn't play the end of last season. That's how they end up. He was 5-5, had the weird start to the year with the calf, then had the weird that we all saw, like, did we witness a guy's career end because he can't hold a football? Remember that sideline video where he literally couldn't do the thing he's greatest
isn't he, at? It, yeah, and isn't he the first? Isn't he the first quarterback to attempt to come back from this injury? Like, something along the lines of, I, you know, don't quote me on this. I'm not a scientist and barely a podcast host, but isn't it something like 50% of all people that suffer this injury, something around that, the half of all people, like their wrist, it's never the same again. Like, it's screws.
It's scary. Yeah. It's scary for a guy who makes his money, because this is not a Princess Bride. He can't just flip the ball to the left side and say, I did not tell you I am not right-handed. I am left-handed. No, no, no. That's not going to happen. He's never going to be an elite quarterback if his arm doesn't work properly and his wrist. But you have that. So you have the Joe Burrow question. Then you have the question about Ja'Marr Chase. Is he playing? Is he, even T. Higgins is playing on the franchise tag? I don't know. He's like, hey, Ja'Marr, you're kind of, I'm supposed to be the one looking for a contract, and you're kind of stealing my limelight right now. And I know you're better, but I wanted to put some pressure on them to give me money.
He wants to be the him. He wants to be the man, the dog. Yeah.
He wants to get paid. I don't know if he wants to be the
him. He's getting paid. He's getting paid like $21.5 million
a year. 1 year. He wants the big deal. He's seeing these big deals that include $60, $70, $80 million in guaranteed money for wide receivers. So there's a lot of questions for the Bengals. That being said, all of those questions come from them being a more talented team. And that is without argument. But even, you know, you look at their defense, and everybody talks about, and I still don't know the guy's name, Lou Anarumo?
Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for Ben's Gals.
Yeah, I wish somebody would just come up with some sort of like nickname, Big Lou.
Big Lou. Yeah, but he's on meds too.
Yes. only on wife number two. They were not.
Tell me about this backup quarterback, John Sewer. I hear he gets the job done.
We're getting all the, these two teams will fan duel it out.
Well, you know, the Patriots were the draft kings back in, I hate myself so much. Okay, you talk.
But their defense last year was 31st in the NFL. They were a team that gave up a lot of sacks and had a lot of sacks. Mm-hmm. Even Trey Hendrickson didn't really practice this summer. But if Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard are on, that's a formidable bookend duo to go against a Patriots team that has lots of questions at the tackle position in the offensive line. So
we got them tackle issues right there, but up the gut, maybe that's where the Pats are going to try to work more often
City
than
so.
Not.
City So, not practicing. So City Nick so, Leverett City could be so starting what? Left guard.
He might be fine enough.
Yeah. Yeah, good, he might be.
Good enough.
Clayton Robinson, I feel good about.
Me too. Mike, you heard it on the previous podcast. I said he might be your offensive rookie of the year for the Patriots. Could be a big deal for them.
Boy, is that sad?
Yeah, it was very sad.
A team that has no quarterback, no wide receivers, no offensive.
2 years ago, you said the kicker was the second best player on the team.
That was also sad. And I wasn't wrong. That kicker was balls.
Nick Folk. Oh man. Yeah. The legend of Big Kick Nick. Now at least we get someone else. Now you can get all excited about being a Sly guy, because Joey Sly can be good for 60 on any get boom.
Yeah. Or he could be cut. Boom.
I know. Or just like that. Lord.
DJ
Reader on defense. Yeah. Oh, this game's going to be, I think this game's going to be a mess. Quite honestly, anyone who's looking for everybody, for the people watching it, the people that
attend. Could we be in the second quarter and be, never expected a 0-0 affair here in Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too, because the Bengals could take a while. Now, the one thing I will say is I love Joe Burrow. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I love sort of everything about him. And I think if there's anybody that can kind of pull a Tom Brady and say, listen, Ja'Marr, you're going to get paid. You're one of the best receivers of the generation. T, you're going to get paid. Can we just kind of go out there, maybe play football and win some game? Like, I feel like Joe Burrow is the guy that has that, that it factor, that je ne sais quoi that it takes to do that.
The Joey Burke. And is he good enough? Does he have the cachet to come in and just be like, hey, everybody, let's all play a little game called Shut the F Up. I got paid. You'll get paid. I understand our organization is historically and notoriously cheap. And yes, they have been selling TVs that were used in the stadium out of the back of the stadium for $60 a piece, which is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever heard, as opposed to, I don't know, donating them or gifting them to classrooms, employees.
I mean, I don't want to seem like a crass fuck up, but there's a like 40-inch TV in my mother's house that I got from Gillette Stadium when they replaced TVs somewhere. They were like, hey, we have some TVs we're getting rid of. Any employee who wants them, come down to the loading dock and pick it up.
You know what? I very well might. And my mother would appreciate that, you know, because flat screens, they're not nearly as expensive as they used to be. But yeah, anyway, so the Bengals are notoriously cheap. I don't think you're going to see their offense moving along and humming the way it could or likely should at some point this season. They lose Joe Mixon in the offseason. He goes to the Texans. Now you replace him with a combination of Zach Moss and someone I'm hearing a little positive buzz on, last year's third-round pick, Chase Brown. I think Chase Brown may overtake Zach Moss as the RB1 for the Bengals at a certain point. We're also going to have a reunion this weekend, Andy. I know you're very much looking forward to this. It's probably why you went shopping at the big box store yesterday and stocked up on all your favorite foods and bevs, because we're having a hang with our old pals Trenton Brown and Michael Gesicki on Sunday as well.
Nope.
Which is why I feel better about the Patriots.
No. I mean, I would, if it weren't for who he is, I would take Trent Brown's talent in a heartbeat right now. But he is who he is. And you get what you get, and you don't get upset because you did it. But they got some biggins. They got some biggins. Trent Brown, Orlando Brown, and then the rookie Mims kid out of Georgia who's dealing with an injury, but they got three tackles that are massive.
They did invest in the draft in tackle spot. Amarius Mims is a mountain of humanity, but he's been a little dinged up as well. They lose Jonah Williams in the offseason. In comes old Trent Brown, one-year, $10 million deal. Andy, should the Bengals look forward to at times disinterested, mercurial, unpredictable, kind of pouty, weird Trent Brown this year because that's his resting state? Or is this going to be focused, energized Trent Brown who on a one-year deal realizes, hey, I might be able to dupe some other team into a three-year deal next year, so why don't I play hard this year and pretend like I care?
No, you're going to get the Trent Brown who will give you flashes of greatness and great games and will infuriate you probably more often than not in the totality of the season. He is who he is. He was who he was here. He was who he was in Las Vegas and Oakland, or just Oakland, I guess, at the time. Yeah. He was who he was in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. Big old leopards his size don't change their stripes.
They just get new tats of them doing funny things with girls on their arms.
Yeah. That's pretty much. Well, there's a lot of surface area to get a lot of tattoos on that body.
Okay, good question from our old pal Jeff Stenberg, watching live as we record this live, the Six Rings and Football Things Patriots-Bengals preview, week one, 2024. When Trent Brown wants to play, he's fantastic. Will playing the Pats give him a little motivation?
Probably. This will probably be one of his good games, whatever that's 4, 5, 6 good games this year. It wouldn't stun me if this is one of his good games against the Patriots. Also, I don't know how great the matchup is or bad the matchup is for him. You got guys that got plenty to prove on this, the edge of this defensive front, you know, optimistic guys, Keon White, bounce back guys, Uche. You don't have, as Bill Belichick pointed out in one of his many, many media appearances, you don't have Matthew Judon as the centerpiece of the pass rush anymore. So that's, again, that's one of the many, many, many questions throughout this game. And this, I keep emphasizing the questions that the Bengals face, the questions that the Patriots face. Mm-hmm. Most teams are facing a litany of questions in week one about, you know, can they live up to their hype? Are they better than their questions? Is this new guy good? Is this coach working? Does this defensive coordinator addition help?
I already have a popsicle headache just thinking about all that. And that's the other friggin' team. We haven't even talked about the Patriots yet. Like, for example, Will there actually be some sort of pass rush that they can generate or scheme up? Yesterday,
I just said that numbnut.
During, yeah, I'm using that and then spinning it into the next level of questions. Numbnuts.
I need you to listen.
I'm trying to.
You that just big old head has big old ears. Try to use them.
This big old
head Siciliano really
needs a lot of beers. Hey, oh yeah, why don't you blow it out your Siciliano hole? By the way, go after yourself. But now we flip to the offensive side of the ball with the Patriots. Will it be Nick Leverett that starts at left guard? Probably. So now we're going to have the umpteenth different iteration or combination of offensive linemen. This is likely not to be the one that they'll play with in week two or three. It's just a mess.
I've often heard with the offensive line, it's best to have as few snaps as possible of guys working in their spots together. It's better to just throw crap at the wall. Yep. And, you know, the first time they line up together is the first time in a game. Yeah, it's generally the best way to do it. It's like
that's the way Scarnecchia always preached and drew it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody wants reps.
All right, guys, pipe down. We're going to play line roulette. I'm just going to throw 10 names in a bag. I'll pick five. Go to your spot, shut your hole, and know your role.
And it's
not
by the
way it's typically supposed to
work. If he were coaching, I would take that over what they got right now, because I think he could take his'ins and beat your'ins and take your'ins and beat his'ins.
Now, let's look at the playmakers, or at least the people that will be trying to make plays when the football
is in their
hands.
Am I prickly this morning? What's going on?
He's doing prickly? A lot. You got a lot going on.
I'm ready. You know. It's football season, baby. Okay. I'm excited.
Where's the
football? Drop the Lee.
Where's the football? So when it comes to like the Ramondres, the Brissettes, the wide receivers. All right. First question I'll throw your way. Jacoby Brissett, over under 25.5 passes attempted.
Over.
Okay.
Well, they're chasing, so he's got to.
You think so? Yeah. But what if the Bengals just have the ball like for 41 minutes?
No, I think the Bengals will have some big plays and some big scores. So I think you'll be chasing multiple scores in the second half. So you're probably going to have to throw the ball a little bit for Jacoby Brissett.
But an optimal or successful game script for the Patriots with a team coordinated by Alex Van Pelt, who has said, I believe yesterday you referred to it on the afternoon show as his hostage video that the Patriots released on Instagram several months back.
Appreciate you listening.
Where he said he wanted to, I got to try it every now and again before I switch over to the other station. So, I said, running the football is fundamental to scoring in the National Football League. So he already kind of spoiler alerted us as to what kind of offense we think he's going to want to run. And then you got guys like new head coach Rod Mayo, excuse me.
Oh,
JK, LOL, GFY. Oh,
and I'm prickly this morning.
Hey, come on. I didn't sleep very much last night either. So then you got Mayo saying yesterday that controlling the line of scrimmage is going to be the biggest key for the Patriots having a chance to win this game Sunday. Now, do you see the Patriots dominating or controlling the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball this weekend?
The defensive front, I don't discount their ability to potentially control the line of scrimmage. The offensive front, I think they're going to fight an uphill battle. Questions at tackle against good ends, some decent stoutness in the middle of that defense. But again, I can look at their players and depth chart and say one thing. The reality is they gave up a lot of yards on the ground last year. They gave up a lot of yards through the air last year. And it's not last year, but a lot of the talent, the coordinator, the scheme is a carryover. And Van Pelt and Brissett have familiarity with this scheme and with this coordinator and with this talent, with this matchup. So they should know what they're doing. Now, whether they can execute it or not, we'll see. But yeah, they need to run the ball. We know that. Absolutely need to run the ball to win this game. They need to establish the play action game, the boots, some shot plays. I'm interested. I don't know if you remember Hunter Henry before he got banged up was talking about, this offense seems to afford the tight ends some opportunities to maybe get some chunk plays, make some plays down the field. I would love to see a catch and run Hunter Henry play where he gets a little space 15, 18 yards downfield and maybe can turn that into a 40-yard play. They're going to need some chunk plays. There is no way in hell they are going to run the ball to the degree of 5 yards, cloud of dust. That's good enough. There will need to be off of that chunk plays, which is part of this offense. But I'm just saying they have to execute those, whether that's Henry, some of those deep overs we saw from DeMario Douglas in in practice. Like, don't just think Douglas is a slot short guy. There's probably going to be some opportunities for him down the field. We had a question earlier about who the healthy scratches may be at receiver. Is it Booty? Is it Baker? I think it's probably Baker who'll be a healthy scratch for.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that one in the rapid fire questions, but I have no idea what to expect from this offense. Are we going to see, are we going to see the Patriots go with a traditional ground and pound approach, thinking that the Bengals defensive line can be had because they don't have DJ Reader anymore? Are they going to try to scheme up and get after Joe Burrow and put some pressure on him to make some throws with that reconstructed wrist with the receivers that were taking time off in the offseason? Or are they going to sort of hang back and try to do the classic Patriots bend but don't break approach on defense? You know, DeMarcus Covington obviously learned from many of the best, but now he's making his own shots and calls with a little influence from Mayo as well. I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating. I do. And I am with you. Ramondre Stevenson needs to be the offensive MVP. He needs to be the focal point of the offense. They need to get him as many touches, preferably more successful than not, more positive than negative, to say the least. I do want to get to a couple questions right here. There we go. Yep. Okay. So Los Talks Pats on Twitter wanted to know who gets the scratch, Booty or Baker, which you just addressed. I think Baker. I think he probably does get the scratch for that IG Live earlier this week. Here we go. Pete the Animal.
Oh, it's more than that. It's the totality. I keep using that word because it's a Gerard Mayo word. It's the totality of the summer. He didn't catch the ball well. He wasn't in great shape. He was running with the threes. I'm not sure how great some of his professionalism was. It's very similar. The Bengals have a young receiver, Burton, out of Georgia, who had a really nice production on the preseason game field, but is apparently kind of a immature dink who's been sleeping.
Because he was at Alabama, then had to transfer to Georgia. He was another one of these guys. Like,
maturity.
Exactly.
Maturity. He's got talent, made some plays, but you're not a professional wide receiver yet. And I was reading some clips that they kind of expect he might be a healthy scratch despite making some plays. So
there's Trenton. Who's the other one? Irwin, I believe, is one slot receiver. And then Iosivis, who's supposed to actually be sneaky good too. Kenny Tasney, is Chase playing? And if so, do you think Gonzo can shut him down? I don't think any one person can totally shut Jamar Chase down unless he's completely out of shape. And this goes back to what we addressed earlier this week, Andy. Too much pressure for Christian Gonzalez to just step in and be freaking Patrick Surtain one or two, or any of your favorite shutdown corners. He's not Stephon Gilmore yet. Can we just let the guy establish his own legacy now before we put him in the Hall of Fame?
But, I mean, that's what he wants to be. That's what he was drafted to be. He's not that yet, and that's not fair to expect that of him. To be competitive? Okay. You know, we used to talk, there were games when the Malcolm Butler was the number one corner where he would...
Not a number one corner.
Well, he was. It is what it is. He was the number one corner. He would struggle with like Antonio Brown. Why? It's tough. Even when you're a number one corner, those guys are really good. They get paid too. The rules are kind of slanted in their directions. Mm-hmm. Those are tough matchups. And the days of winning those and shutting people down are long gone. I need Gonzalez to be competitive. And my other concern is, rolling the injury report into this, Jonathan Jones limited in practice yesterday with a hamstring. Not great. Not what I'm looking for. Because he had kind of an on and off the field all summer thing going on.
He's always an ankle or a hammy with this guy.
Well, this is a hammy. Yeah. Oh, that there was tone to that.
There was. I think there was tone. It's a little frustrating.
I think the prickly one this morning is the guy who's supposed to be optimistic and positive.
I told you I didn't sleep well last night.
But Jonathan Jones spoke with the media. He spoke with the afternoon program. That's its name. Don't question it. On WEEI on Tuesday. So generally when guys are that vocal and in the locker room and holding session with the media, they're going to play. But I'm just saying a hamstring, first game of the season, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, one of your cornerbacks. I'm not sure I love that recipe or that concoction you're putting together in the back end. And Marcus Jones was on and off the field all summer too. He's the one that flies under the radar. I have no idea whether Marcus Jones is a good slot corner or not. Last I saw him, he wasn't all that good at the position.
Exactly. Well, as far as the defensive effort, we know one thing, as Devon Godshow told us this week.
In the locker room, like, all those guys trust you. All those guys are running to a brick wall behind you, including myself, just having the culture of you playing football, knowing how it's done, and then coming out to mentoring us each and every day to do the right thing.
I just want to say, Andy, we are definitely living in strange days when Bill Belichick officially joins Instagram and reads a hostage video, you know, script that his girlfriend writes for him. And then on the very same day, the man who took over as coach for him in New England appears on one of his own players' podcasts to have flowers sent his way. And then Gerard Mayo says on The God Show, or whatever the Devon God Show podcast is, he says having a quarterback that can extend the play is key to winning in the modern NFL. You've got a quarterback that can extend plays. He just happens to be sitting on the sideline this week.
It was the same day they released the podcast that Gerard Mayo at the podium in his first midweek press conference of a game week said, you get better at playing football by playing football, except for Drake May, apparently, because he's not going to play football. Yeah, it's a weird world. I'm also sick of podcasts. That's probably something weird to say on a podcast.
No, I've actually feel like I've reached peak podcast. At least like we put the podcast out, but we have more fun doing this live and engaging with the twisted members of Pat's Nation and our Foxborough faithful than we do just like, oh, good, we do a podcast. Like, this is one of the fun parts for me. And it's going to be more fun Sunday when we not only have the Six Rings and Football Things live postgame show on WEEI, but we do our first ever Six Rings unfiltered live halftime program right here. So no matter how the game is going, ice up, son, tune in, get ready, and LFG. All right.
Andy, I also need to apologize to Patriot Nation. Devon Godshaw said that he would run through a brick wall for Coach Mayo. That brought up a cheap shot I took at the offensive line yesterday on our show that I felt bad about, even though I kind of believe in it. My co-host, Christian Arcand, said it's on Gerard Mayo to motivate the offensive line, to get those guys to run through a brick wall for him, to which I said, these guys, they'd miss the wall. And I immediately felt a little bad.
Oh, take a lap. Just like Los wants me to do, because the name of the podcast is Shaw Talk. Shaw Talk. All right, jeez, my God.
It's called One Podcast Too Many.
Too Many.
Oh, no. Maybe that was the Brian Hoyer, David Andrews podcast that was announced this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, what's that? Quick Snaps?
Yeah.
Not Quick Slants.
No disrespect, but a backup quarterback and a center? That's your, like...
A previous player and a current player dissecting the game. I mean...
There's too many podcasts. There's too many people in the world, and there's too many podcasts. That's the simple reality. Thanos needs to do it again, and podcasts need to be part of it. Boom, half of them gone.
Can you imagine if there was a Thanos podcast snap? That would be amazing.
Bye.
Yeah.
We'd survive.
No, people
no
need
chance
this.
We'd survive.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? All right, enough. Let's dispense with the pleasantries, the slap and tickle, and... the Sunday stuttering. Let's just get right down to it. 1 o'clock, Paycor Stadium, Patriots at Bengals, over under 40.5. As of right now on the sports books, the Bengals are favored by 8.5 points. Andy, give me your prediction for the game as well as a star or player O game.
So seeing as I said that they could lose every game they play this year, I'm going to pick them to lose the first game they play this year. I would lay the points with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I think they can F around and still find out enough to win by more than 8.5 points. They have questions, but they have answers to those questions that are really good, even if they're not at their best. So, I believe the Patriots are sort of a work in progress where the progress has been somewhat slow.
You're being very kind. See, he is being, it's nice. Andy,
I'm trying, I'm packaging it. Lipstick, pig meat. So I got to take the Bengals. I probably would take the under, quite honestly.
Okay.
Because
you got a score maybe in mind.
I'm thinking something like 28-6 or something like that. I think the Bengals are going to score some points, and I don't think the Patriots are going to score very many points. Patriots need big plays to score, in my opinion.
No doubt. They'll need at least one score on defense.
Kicking game, defense. They need, you know, the Marcus Jones special kind of thing all in one game.
The old MJS. Who do you have for an MVP on the game as well, Sunday?
I'm going to say Joe Burrow puts to bed. You mean just game MVP, not a Patriots?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say Joe Burrow puts the questions to bed. I think he's talked the talk this offseason. I think he comes out and walks the walk. And for him, even though they're a bad team, He probably wants to. He's probably heard the Patriots defense is good. Oh, they're a top 10 defense. Mina Kimes thinks they're a top 5 defense, and all this hype about the Patriots defense probably gives Joe Burrow some motivation. Okay, I can show people something against a supposedly good defense right out the gates.
Even with the Pete Davidson / Eminem haircut and dye job that Joe Burrow's going with now.
Oh, I love it.
Matters anything. Actually, I think it looks kind of awesome as well. And I love Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow.
That it's for a cancer patient too.
Oh, I think he's a good dude.
I think he's a great dude on all levels. Talent, yep. Leadership, normalcy.
Demeanor. Everything.
Yeah. He has that one fashion thing that he looked ridiculous when he went to Europe or Paris, wherever he was.
That's fine. Brady, I mean, Brady had long hair.
Our run-stuffing defensive tackle just looked like, I don't even know what he looked like in that podcast with the
locker room. Like, all those guys trust you. All those guys are running to a brick wall behind you, including.
Okay. Don't you think somewhere Fred Smirlis just rolled over in his grave? He's like,
he's got like an aviator's cap on with glasses and an ascot. Like, and I guarantee you that ascot costs more than either of our closets and possibly both combined.
Probably. And didn't a nose tackle used to be kind of a gritty, workman-like position? Like
Smirlis and Ted Washington are respectively just like gnawing on raw meat on the bone right now.
It's ridiculous. But okay.
Okay, so 28-6, final score. Joe Burrow's the MVP of the game. All right, because I'm the one, crazy enough, the only one at the station to say that I thought the Patriots could hang in this game, would be able to cover, and possibly if they were going to pull off one wild, holy smokes, this is the kind of fuel that helps the fires of Overreaction Monday rage. I may as well just own it right now. So either A, y'all can victory lap all over me on the Six Rings postgame show Sunday, and then forget about me by the time you go to the frequency modulated radio Monday, Andy, or I'll get to say, ha, who was there first? I told you so. So the New England Patriots will not score an offensive touchdown on Sunday. They'll get close, but they won't. However, they will get a defensive touchdown from my pick of MVP on the day, Jabril Peppers, the shocker, the upset of the season. Your Patriots 19, the Bengals 17, player of the game, Jabril Peppers. It's an under. It's a cover. Don't take it to the bank because I do not want to be responsible for many of you people needing to take out a HELOC or a second mortgage on Monday because you trusted old Uncle Fitzy. But hey, I got to own my spot. You said I got to steer back into my lane of Patriots positivity. Well, there I am. Now you know. And so it goes. Anything else you want to add before we throw to my little chat with our friends on It's Always Game Day in Cincinnati, where we find out exactly what the good people of Bengals Nation are thinking?
This is a cross promotion, but we had some breaking news recently unveiled on our website about the Boston Celtics. According to morning show co-host Courtney Cox, a source that she trusts implicitly, okay, the bidding for the Boston Celtics, who are up for sale, as everybody knows, is down to three groups. And the three finalists are, apparently, in no particular order, Jeff Bezos and his group, Sam Kennedy and group, which is Fenway Sports Group, and Wynn Casinos and Resorts.
Wow. No, so Pagliuca and company, out.
This is according to our Courtney Cox and a source.
So the Wynn...
I also find it interesting that...
Wynn took a bath, by the way, on Wynn Bet, just FYI. Some of the sports books that have opened and shuttered, that one didn't do very well.
Well, you know, you can't win them all.
Well, you get the synergy with the Encore down the street, and okay, that makes sense. Number two, you said Sam Kennedy?
Sam Kennedy and group is the way it was apparently listed somewhere, and Courtney Cox is like, well, that's Fenway Sports Group, but that's an interesting way to list it. Yeah. And then the Jeff Bezos group, and there had been reports both ways that Bezos was in, Bezos was out, you know, Amazon.
I think Bezos gets it. I don't think it just becomes a portfolio piece. I think it becomes a point of pride for him. He doesn't worry about second and third aprons. He shells out big money. I think he'd probably be an excellent owner in all those, like Celtic pride. What could possibly mean more?
Well, if he runs the Celtics, if he gets them, and then he runs the Celtics the way he ran Amazon, he would be the perfect owner because for years, and I don't know if this is still true, Amazon didn't make money. It broke even because everything that they made was reinvested into the company to grow it into other businesses.
Did it take over 20 years for them to turn a profit?
Well, but he, by choice, he could have turned a profit much earlier had he just said, nope, this is what we're going to do. We're going to skate this lane. We're successful in the, but he kept growing and growing and growing, and all money that came in basically went back into the company. And isn't that how you want your sports team run? If you get it in, just put it right back into the organization.
It sure would. I think that would be, I'm going to say right now, I hope Bezos buys the Celtics. I do.
I actually don't hate, I mean, the Fenway Sports Group one is probably the least appetizing locally just because of the way they've managed the Red Sox of late, and that would be a bit of a concern, so they'd probably be third. But yeah, Bezos, Wynn, they're mm-hmm. both seem like they're into spending money, so it's fine.
Yeah, and hey, it would make a lot of sense for Bezos to buy the Celtics because most of the Celtics players are in their prime.
Terrible. I was going to say it's a win-win situation.
All right, so we have each have one shitty dad joke on the way out the door. Fantastic. All right, that'll do right now for our preview and prediction. Of course, I have the Patriots winning 19-17. Andy has the Bengals 28-6. We will review and recap all of this on the Six Rings postgame show Sunday, and don't miss our Six Rings Unfiltered Live halftime show right here on the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials. Good job, Hart. Good job, commenters, as always. Thanks, everyone, for playing along. And now, please stay tuned for the back half of the pod with my conversation with our friends on our Cincinnati Odyssey sister podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cincinnati. Spoiler alert, very little mercy is shown. We'll talk to you guys soon. Good day. God bless. Stay tuned for that chat. And as always,
go Pats.